I want to just share with you today a couple of things about hope. We've been in a series this Christmas on the Old Testament prophecies of Christ. And when we've looked at these prophecies, we've seen men and women of faith, men and women of hope. We saw Mary's incredible faith that she would believe that God would cause her to become pregnant without knowing a man, the virgin birth of Christ. We saw the faith in her. We saw Joseph's courage and his obedience to God. That things that he didn't understand, that he would go, he would marry Mary, and take her as his wife, just as God would command. We saw that courage. Wednesday night, we saw the Magi's wisdom and their worship of the King, the King Jesus, who they understood. This is who he was. This morning, I want us to look in this last Christmas Christmas series message at Simeon's hope. Simeon's hope, and it's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. But as we were singing just a moment ago, I was thinking of a passage of scripture in Romans speaking of Abraham's faith and his hope. It's a very powerful passage of scripture because that's what the whole gospel's about. It's about a hope, an anticipation of God fulfilling the promises that seem so far away, so impossible, but that God would come 2,000 years later, and as he promised impossibilities then, he comes to promise impossibilities today. Those things that by nature, that by our own will and by man's effort, we could never accomplish. It's this whole thought that the gospel is based upon believing something that's utterly impossible for man to accomplish. And oh, man has been trying to accomplish it throughout all history, trying to make it on their own, trying to be their own God, to be their own boss in this life, and not to line up to what God says and what God promises. And therefore, the whole world is in a whole place of broken. It's broken. It's full of sin. It's full of darkness. It's full of hardship. It's full of just the enemy's work. And sometimes we as believers get swept up into that because we see all these things happening. And yet God comes along and he says, listen, I have promises to keep in your life, in your marriage, in your children's lives. I have promises to keep that I've made that seems so impossible, so far away. I've come to do that very thing in your life. And when God came to Abram at 75 years old and said, I'm going to make you a great nation. And yet at 75 years old, he has no child. And God keeps appearing to him over and over and over again. And God would make this promise. And God would say, hey, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then what would he do? He'd do something in his own effort. He'd build an altar to the Lord. And then God would meet him again and he'd say, I'm going to make you make a great nation. I'm going to make you great. And then he would build an altar to the Lord. And finally, when he's 86 years old, God says, hey, I'm going to bless you with a son. I'm going to bless you with an heir. And he's got this unbelief going on in his heart and his mind. He says, listen, you keep telling me, you're chasing me all over, which one day going to be known in the Middle East, right? You're chasing me all over this place, and you're telling me that I'm going to be a great nation, but I'm an old man, and we're childless. And God says in Genesis chapter 15, do not say that this person in your household is going to be your heir because someone will come forth from your own body. He says, come on outside. Look at the stars. See if you can count them. And he says, so shall your seed be. And then what happens is he believes. And God goes, you're righteous. He declares him righteous. He declares him holy. He declares him by this faith because finally he's believing the impossible word. He's got this hope, and that's what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 4. I know this isn't in your notes. I just feel like just sharing this with you because it will relate to the message this morning. And it says this. It says, listen, this salvation, this justification is by faith. It's not by works because man's been trying to work it out all their lives. They're always falling short of the glory of God. That's why some people could say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church every week. Or, yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm not only in church, but I pray. Me and God have a conversation every single day. Of course I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm an American. Aren't all Americans Christian? I heard that once. What is a Christian? A Christian is the one who believes the impossible promise of God that what you can't do for yourself, God did by sending Jesus. And we see this in the Old Testament with Abraham's faith. Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Wait, we don't have any kids. No, you don't, but you will. Wait a minute, my wife's, she's too old. I'm too old. Yeah, but I'm going to move that mountain. I'm going to move that mountain. Because what's impossible with man is possible with me. And so the scripture says that Paul is talking to the Roman church. Says, listen, it's by faith. Verse 16, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. Now watch, as is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him who has believed, of whom he believed, even God who gives, watch, life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. And Abraham, in hope against hope, believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which has been spoken, so shall your seed be. Now watch, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, and the dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen, this is what saying. This is what saying. Look, he's hearing the promise of God, but he's looking at his body, and he's looking how old he is, and he's looking at the deadness of Sarah's womb. And folks, you got to get your eyes off the temporal. And get your eyes on what God says, because he says, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Hope against hope, he says. Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was also credited to him as righteousness. God credits you righteous when you believe the impossible promise of God that he comes to save you and comes to save you completely. We got doctrines around in the world today that says that you don't have to be saved completely. I mean, you just pray a prayer and you're in. And yet we see the promise of God is all about believing it, having this deep conviction that what God says he's going to do, by God's grace, he's going to do it. And this is our faith. This is our hope. Then when you flash forward 700 years later, about 680 years later, you've got all these things happening. Just as we mentioned a moment ago, we've got angels appearing to John the Baptist's parents. We got an angel appearing to Mary. We've got an angel coming to Joseph in a dream. And he's speaking promises after promises after promises. And what must they do with those promises? Just believe in the power of God. And yes, Joseph would get up and he would go. Well, Jesus is born. The promise is made. The promise is complete. And the scripture says when 8 days, we're in Luke now, Luke chapter 2, I'm done with that introduction. When 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was consumed in the womb. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, just want to make something very clear here. This is about 40 days after birth. That's the time of purification. 40 days for a woman in the Old Testament who's had a baby. And so after these 40 days of purification, they head to the temple to present him to the Lord. And as it's written in the law of the Lord, every first male or firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This is your first, right? And hopefully that child's your best. But he's the first, he's the best. And he's presented to God. He's brought to this great God, in the temple to say, he's yours. He is yours. He's yours for the doing of whatever you desire. And then they offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out from the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed him and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people." Simeon's hope. What does that mean? What is he hoping for? Well, he's hoping for what God, the Holy Spirit, told him would happen. That before he died, he would see the Messiah, the Christ. That's the promise. And I'm telling you, he's holding on to that promise. I'm telling you, there is a hope. There's a hope that's not just a wishing. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. It's a faith that anticipates, that's our word hope, it anticipates what God promises. That's what hope is. In today's language, that's not how we use hope. I hope I get something knowing that I probably won't get it. When we grew up, it was the Sears wish book. Remember it? We'd circle all the things we hoped to get. Did you ever get everything you hoped for? No. Never. That's not the kind of hope here. There's an anticipation in Simeon's heart that before he dies, he's going to see the face of God. He's going to see Jesus. And it's interesting because the way that he says this, or Luke writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is that this man, he was righteous. Now, why would God call him righteous? Because he believed. He believed with all of his heart what God said he would do for Simeon. And he's waiting. And he's waiting with anticipation because I don't know. I wish we knew when God told him that. Don't you? I wish we knew. Oh, he was about 18 years old when God told him that. Or he was 22 or 25 or 28. Well, it really doesn't matter because when God comes and tells you, it doesn't matter the age, right? He just tells you, I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to conform you into the image of Jesus. I'm going to set you free from the power of the sin that you've been walking in. I'm going to come restore your joy in your grief. I'm going to remove that grief. I'm going to remove those things. I'm coming to do this important, all this important great work in your life. And what does he say? Just believe me and anticipate it. We live in a society that when God promises something, we think he's going to put it in the microwave and warm it up in 30 seconds and we're going to have it. I mean, that's what it is. Fast food, right? And he's waiting. The Bible says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is a big word. It's an important word. His name is Simeon. He's righteous and devout. That means that he believes the promise of God, and he's looking for the consolation of Israel. And watch this. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Isn't that what happens when we believe? We believe in this remarkable word that God died for our sins, and he died just for us, and we receive that through faith, believing that he'll save us, and he'll save us completely and forever. And then we walk this out in hope, in anticipation of this great work. I know there's some of you in here today that you're struggling with your circumstances. Maybe you're struggling with a relationship right now, or a financial deal that's going on, or maybe there's a sin issue that's just really propped up in your life, and it's a season that is hard and difficult, or maybe there's a hard season in your marriage right now, or maybe you're just suffering with grief over loss. And I'm here to say to you that God has this hope for us, an anticipation, just like we talked about when we did Lord's Supper a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus died on that cross and carried my grief and my sorrow, and he shed his blood and took my sin away. We believe that, do we not? We all believe that. The question is, am I believing and am I hoping? Am I anticipating that God's going to do this? And that's what they find Simeon. Simeon is looking for the consolation of Israel. And the word consolation is a word that just means comfort. He's looking for the comfort of Israel. It's interesting because when you look at that root word comfort, it's also used in a different word or verbiage in the Greek language for the comforter who the Holy Spirit is called. The Holy Spirit is called the comforter, the one called alongside to help us in our time of need. And what I want to suggest to you is that he is not just simply going to say, oh, I saw Jesus. No, this is an anticipation of a life-changing event, not only for him, but for the people of Israel. That's the kind of faith that he has. And I'm asking you today, as your pastor and as your friend, that no matter what is happening in your life, there are certainties that God said that he would do in our lives as children of the living God. And we got to remember them, don't we? We've got to remember what God says and what God has told us he would do in our lives. And for Simeon here, he's just knowing that he's going to see the Lord. He's going to see the salvation. He's going to see the consolation. He's going to see the comfort of God. Because he knows there's someone coming. It's a Messiah. A prophet better than Moses. A priest more important than their high priest. A king that's so much greater than any king that ever lived. A man and God coming is what Israel hoped for. And I want to just say this. I mentioned this in prayer. Just like I believe that if you're a worshiper of God, you're going to worship. That's what you're going to do because that's what worshipers do. But the people of God, they hope. They anticipate the work of God. And we speak of it, and we talk of it, and we believe it. And then what does that do? That drives out the negativity. It drives out the grumbling and the complaining and the critical spirit of all the things that are going on around us. Why? Because our hope is not in this world. And if you're a grumbler or a complainer or someone that just is a critical spirit kind of guy or critical spirit kind of lady, listen, you're not living on the right plane. Because our God says, I'm at work, and I'm going to finish the work that I promised that I would do in your life. And we hope it, and we anticipate it, just like Abraham, in hope against hope. We look at our lives and say, gosh, it is just such a wreck. It's such chaos right now in my life. But in that respect to the promise of God, I'm not going to waver in hope. And we got to do that by the Spirit of God. And that's why it says in this passage that the Holy Spirit of God was upon him. And the Holy Spirit already said, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to see the Lord Christ before he die. And then what's so remarkable is that what Simeon anticipates and hopes for, he gets. What he hopes for And what he believes, he gets. Now, this is really important. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's the only way you get, that's the only way faith comes. It comes by the word of God. So this faith is based upon what God said, not on what your old nature heart wants. This is all about not just life here. It's about life in Jesus. It's life in Jesus. Listen, you can gain the whole world and still lose your soul. Is that right? You can gain all the money, all the stuff, all the things in this life, and still go to hell. Yeah, I'm a pastor that believes that there's a hell. And many are headed that way, according to Scripture. And so you can have all this kind of stuff and all these kinds of things and ask God for all this kind of stuff. But listen, it doesn't get you to anything towards the kingdom of God. This is about character. It's about the character of Christ. It's about the joy of the Lord. That's what this is about. And I think about it. It's interesting because what he heard with his ears from the Holy Spirit, he anticipated, and in that anticipation, God did what he said he would do. And so the scripture says in 27, and he came in the Spirit, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now I can't imagine why there's this old guy coming up and taking the baby out of the mama's hands. You know, it's a good thing they're in a temple, right, and not in a mall, right? It's a good thing they're in the temple, not a mall. But just see it. This old man is so excited that he kind of just grabs the baby. And he looks into the face of this baby who is the face, listen to me, the face of God. And he says, now you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, according to your rhema, according to what you have told me specifically. I get to depart in peace now. What I've been waiting for has happened. What I've been waiting for has happened. And now I get to go be, well, I don't get to be with Jesus yet because Jesus is going to come and I'll get to be with Jesus, right? I mean, that's the thought. I'm done here. I'm finished. Because let me tell you, those who welcome Jesus, those who welcome him have absolute peace in welcoming, watch this, death. Those of us who have this peace, those of us who welcome Jesus into our lives have absolute peace in welcoming death to be apart from the body and present with the Lord. He says, I get to depart in peace. And there's peace all over me. Now there's nothing else left for me. I'm headed to heaven. I'm headed to heaven. Now, I don't know how long that was. It could have been a week, could have been a month, could have been a year. I don't know. It could have been another decade. I don't know. But he's ready now because God has fulfilled what God promised him. And I got to tell you this because it's really interesting. Notice that this word to Mary and Joseph in verse 33, it says that his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your soul to the end, that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. He said, listen, it's going to be hard. There's going to be joy, but there is going to be earthly pain. It is. None of us in here, and neither do I, would ever say that it's going to be easy. But what I will say, that if you'll obey the word of God, it'll be simple. Maybe not easy, but simple. He is ready to depart. And what I want to just close right now, because not only do we have, you know, in a moment you're going to hear from Anna, and you'll get it when it all happens. But when I think about this, if we believe in this great God who comes into our lives to take away sin and to remove our grief and our sorrow, to bring us to peace with God and to have peace in our life, in our homes, and in every area of life. And I hope, I'm hoping in it, I'm anticipating it. And so our faith believes what Jesus did, and our anticipation is waiting for him to complete what he's promised. And I want to just finish up with just a couple of lines here. They're in your notes. What is it that we anticipate as Christians? We anticipate, the Bible calls it, I just used it with every scripture that speaks about hope. First of all, we anticipate being like Jesus. Being like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says that that now we are sons of the living God. We've been called, I'll just read it. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world doesn't know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we're children of God and it's not yet appeared as what we will be. We're not there yet, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him and we'll see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope, this anticipation fixed on him will purify himself just as he's pure. Can you imagine? Could it be that simple? That all he's asking me to do is to anticipate Christ's likeness, and in anticipating it, like I know I'm getting it, I know it's coming, I know I'm going to be the man God's called me to be, I know I'm going to be the husband God's called me to be, I know I'm going to be the daddy, the grandpa, the pastor, I know I'm going to do that because he's promised me to become like Christ. And he says, if you have this anticipation, you will purify yourself just as Jesus is pure. And you know what? This is not some hide in your heart kind of thing. It's, man, your wife's seeing it, man. Your husband's seeing it, ladies. Your kids are seeing it. Oh, my dad was like this, but now my dad's like this. Oh, man, my dad used to be so impatient, but man, he is so patient. He was so harsh. She was so harsh, but now she is so gentle. What's going on? I'm being purified like he's purified. Let me ask you a question. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? Let me tell you, that's what you want, and you may not know that's what you want. Because we've got our nose and our eyes and our ears and our mouths and our feet in places that they don't need to be. And we're missing what God has for us. We hope to be like Christ. We anticipate it. And then we anticipate his righteousness. We anticipate salvation and the completion of it. And then we anticipate God's glory. And then we hope in the resurrection of the dead. Not just a wishing, an anticipation. I think about Simeon. And I think about the promise of God. That what God promised and what he anticipated, he received. Here's the question. Do you really know what God's promised? Do you really know that you can have this peace, this life? Do you really know and then anticipate it with this Simeon hope so that one day you wake up and someone nudges you and say, oh my word, you're a whole lot better to live with than you were. Because you're becoming like Jesus. This is Simeon's hope. But in the same story, there's a woman named Anna. And I want you to hear Anna's reward.
Oh, Blessed are you, Lord, a king to be praised in adoration. Baruch ata Adonai, melech me'ulal, patish v'chat. Amen. Hello. I didn't hear you come in. I've been told that when I pray, I tend to get a bit focused. I've been serving here at the temple since my husband died, just 7 years into our marriage. I've discovered that by daily serving God and serving others however I can, it's been healing for me. And now, I'm 84 years old. I know, I look young for my age. But being here at the temple, it's never been boring for me. I certainly never tire of seeking God's face, seeking Adonai. And now there's even more reason for us to worship. But I get ahead of myself. My name is Anna. I'm the old lady they talk about around here. My father's name is Phineal. He was named after the place where our father Jacob, who before he was renamed Israel, wrestled with God. He had named that place Peniel because he knew that he had been with God. He would even say, "I've seen the face of God and lived." And really, can you think of anything better but to see the face of God? The Psalms talk to us about this. When God says, "Seek my face," my heart replies, "Oh Lord, I will seek your face." And again, "Restore us, Lord, and cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved." Or the Chronicles tell us to seek the Lord's face. Seek him in his strength. Seek him continuously. These are some of my favorite verses to pray. And as a prophetess of God, I've devoted my life to daily seeking the Lord. The Holy Scriptures are full of examples of God doing mighty things when someone simply chooses to seek the Lord through prayers and fastings. And then God responds in a remarkable way. In fact, not long ago, that happened to me. It was just a normal day. I was going about my routine of seeking the face of God and praying, and a young couple came in with their baby. It's Jewish law for every firstborn son to be brought to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord and circumcised and named. And so we've seen a lot of babies. They were greeted by an old man. Perhaps you've heard of him. His name is Simeon. Simeon was a good, righteous, and devout man, and the Spirit of God was upon him. In fact, God had told Simeon that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Christ face to face. Oh, can you imagine that? So when Simeon saw this couple, and when he saw this baby, oh, he knew, and the Spirit of God was confirming it. Overcome with emotion, he motioned to the mother for permission to hold the baby, and when he did, he raised the child to the sky and blessed God, saying, "Ah, Lord, now your bondservant may depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." The couple was amazed at all that Simeon had to say. As he handed the baby back to the mother, I came in for a closer look. As I came up next to her and looked into her arms and saw that face, that was when I knew as well. I had spent my whole life seeking the face of God, but at that moment, I was seeing the face of God. God had finally sent his chosen one to redeem us all. The prophet Isaiah tells us, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He's here. He's here. Oh, as I continued to look into that face of that baby, there was such a radiating glory about him. It said at 8 days old, there was just such a peace about him, as if he had somehow already had this chaotic world under his control. My heart leapt at the idea that my eyes have seen the Prince of Peace. And this day, I continue to seek him, until one day soon, I will see him again. We get old, but seeking the face of God never does. And God promises us in Deuteronomy that when we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, we will find him. Thank you, Lord. This baby, this Jesus, he is the mighty God. Seek him all year long. Seek him and you will find him. And when you do, come to him with your burdens. Come to him with your fears. Come to him with your hopes. Come to him with your worship. Oh, come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable, come, see that you're not alone. Oh, come, barren and waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what our God has. Peace for those who believe. Oh, come, though you have none.